right now it's time for another Hall of Fame worthy individual.
That's I don't know about that, Rich.
A little bit of stretch, you think, Pat?
In his mind, yes.
It is our good buddy, the sports professor, Rick Caro, who joins us each and every week for our golf business and law segment sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. And I remind you each and every week, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a non-lawyer spokesperson for the law firm of McDonald Hopkins. But Rick is an attorney. He is also the visiting expert on sports law at Harvard. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, you, and good morning, Rooney. Happy Father's Day. Oh, no, that's a couple weeks from now, months from now. Happy Mother's Day, Rooney. How are you?
Rick, you got to be in a Hall of Fame of some sort. What are you in? Come on, give it to us.
My own mind.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I know that's what you said. We'll just leave it alone for now. I thought I'd be nice tonight.
Today, I know. You're
family listening and stuff.
Jump all over me, but all right, good.
Rick, at the very least, if you're not a Hall of Famer, at least you're a distinguished alumnus from the fine University of Harvard. How about that?
That's really, really good. And I've got regards on the air. There's a person by the name of Patrick O'Riordan who runs worldwide golf sports marketing for Barclays. And we want him on the show. I saw him at the Players' Championship. Not only does he understand how important it is to sponsor golf, by the way, and Barclays, he'll point out, has more golf sponsorships than anybody anywhere, but he and your family are very close, so we'll get into that, Rooney.
All right, good.
All right.
Awesome.
Interesting. A little tease for maybe later on this summer right here on Golf Exchange. Now, Rick, you were up in Ponte Vedra Beach earlier this week. Did you bump into Tim Tebow at any point? Tim Tebow up there playing a round of golf with Phil Mickelson on Wednesday.
Yeah, too many. Actually, you know, Barclays and Mickelson, we talked about that. Yeah, interesting. And there were too many people around him. He's more of a cult hero up there than Mickelson, Woods, Chaka, Nah, and everybody else combined. So I couldn't get close to him.
That's right. People up there in Jacksonville and in the northern parts of Florida think Tim Tebow can walk on water, actually.
Well, and so can you. So, if I get the plug in about Barclays, why do we start the golf segment with a University of Florida question?
Well, as we talked about a distinguished alumni.
Yeah.
As a distinguished alumnus of the fine University of Florida, I feel it my duty to put the Gators front and center each and every week.
Rooney, why don't you take control of these questions?
I'm lost. I'm just a puppet on the show right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, clearly.
Well, Rick, speaking of the Players' Championship, it's been dubbed the PGA Tour's unofficial fifth major, and it seems like a good time, better time than any, to talk about the strength of the PGA Tour in the world of golf this year. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, three, 4 weeks ago, I know it was a hot topic, and we talked a lot about it here during the golf business and law segment, but it seems, for the moment at least, the controversy over corporations receiving those billions of dollars in federal bailout funds has kind of died down just a little bit.
Well, it's died down because we're not at a tournament that is sponsored by one of them. You know, it'll die up again. It'll rise again when we talk about either car companies or banks. And let's remember in perspective, there are 20 deals that are coming due, 20 deals that are coming due next year on the PGA Tour for naming. And frankly, not all of them are going to be renewed. So I would hate to be in the sponsorship procurement department of the PGA Tour to try to get deals done now. Everybody understands how important it is to generate sales. And if you understand that and you open your doors for business, then you've got to be able to advertise. And this is one of the most effective ways to advertise. Unfortunately, politically, the controversy is still there. And one would hope that with the economy hopefully either hitting bottom or turning around, both of those are good signs, that corporations will get some guts again and realize that this is an important part of their business.
Rick, I don't know, this is the second or third year now that they moved. Is this the second year since they moved it to May?
To May? I think it's the third year. I think 2007 was the first.
Third year now that they moved this thing to May. You know, so we've got a couple years under our belt. It looked brutally hot up there yesterday. I think there was some wind, but at the same time, it looked really hot. Is the PGA Tour happy with the May date now? I mean, I don't think they'd ever go back to the March date. I think they're locked into this. But are they happy overall with this? Are they still getting the crowds out there that they were in March? What's the overall feeling now that we're 3 years into this?
I actually couldn't tell if they were happy because I couldn't find Tim Fincham. He was in the air conditioning somewhere. I don't think that's true. Listen, it was. I was told that this was a freak of May by about 8 or 10 degrees because it was a south wind. If you notice some of the holes, they're not playing the prevailing wind way. As we know, the wind comes off the east and off the ocean everywhere on this coast of Florida, except it was coming out of the south and southwest yesterday and the day before. So it was brutally hot. And frankly, it could have been cooler, clearly. And May seems to be an interesting bridge time, right? It's not the week before or 2 weeks before the Masters. It's not 2 weeks before or after the U.S. Open. It's in a nice little spot, some would say a dead zone. But frankly, there may be a tradition where you just assume you're going to watch the end of the Players on Mother's Day and the end of the U.S. Open on Father's Day. That's what people are gearing for. And if it's an extra 10 degrees, well, it's still $100 million of economic impact for the region. And it's a tournament that everybody loves to see. And let's see if five shots mean anything to Tiger. Is it six? No, it's five.
It's five
shots.
Yeah.
We'll be watching. You know, him being in the final group. How many times did they say that last night? About 40?
Yeah, Tiger in the final group with a player holding a five-shot lead at a PGA Tour event. Haven't we heard this story before, like maybe 6 weeks ago at Bay Hill?
Yeah.
But in regards to your comment about Mother's Day being the final round Sunday for the Players last couple of years, what a nice symmetry there. You've got the Players, one of the five biggest events on tour, ending on a final round Sunday of Mother's Day. And the U.S. Open, of course, one of the four majors and one of obviously the biggest events on the PGA Tour each year, ending on a final round Sunday, Father's Day. So I really like that kind of symmetry there and the way it works out. And the move of the Players from March to May was partly due to weather, but I know another part of that was giving the Players its own kind of month to show off and be its own event instead of leading up to the Masters. And it used to be a couple weeks before the Masters. Now it has its own standalone date, and it's the biggest event of the month. So we've got the Masters in April, Players in May, U.S. Open June, British Open July, PGA Championship August, and then President or Ryder Cup in September. It's a nice 6-7 month run there of one big event per month on the PGA Tour, Rick. So it really is kind of smoothed out, and it's kind of evened out the schedule, if you will, so where every couple of weeks we get geared up for another big event.
You forgot the Tour Championship at the end of the FedEx Cup in September. Oh, sorry.
And the FedEx Cup playoffs. Oh, darn, I forgot about those.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. That's the problem with the FedEx Cup, but that's for another day. And as you know, the Tour itself is not wasting any time promoting the heck out of this as the members tournament. When you look at the scoreboard, it has prominently featured when these players became, quote-unquote, members of this exclusive tour, which is something that you don't see on leaderboards or scoreboards anywhere else. The other thing is this is clearly an international event promoted that way. I did a segment on the BBC yesterday, and they're almost as excited as for any of the other majors, clearly not the British or the Masters, but this has become an international event. 235 countries in 35 languages or so get the feed, and that tells you how the tour feels about this event, and I think it's a good thing.
Rick, I almost forgot that they're still doing this, but, you know, and the Players, it came back that, you know, you're having this Saturday cut where they eliminated, I think, nine players again yesterday. It's the made cut, did not finish, whatever that category is this again some it just doesn't seem to be having that much of an impact on the overall field or anything like that. I'm all for kind of getting rid of guys that really have no chance to win the thing, but it only eliminated I think like nine guys yesterday. Is this something you think the PGA Tour is going to tweak, or are we stuck with the Saturday cut for the foreseeable future?
Well, there's a hybrid version of this, and if it only eliminates those guys because of the way it's shaking out, then it's almost like the cut line is irrelevant. But, you know, if you accept the fact that gives the commentator something to talk about, then they'll always tweak it. You know, this is yet another year for the FedEx Cup tweaking, for example. And it's the same people that tweak that tweak this. And we could talk about the differences in the rules, and we'll probably want to do that in September if people care. But every year there are changes, some good, some bad, but that's the nature of the tour.
Robert Carlson, Hunter Mahan, KJ Choi, Stuart Sink, and Freddie Funk, a couple of the names missing the final round cut, the second cut of the weekend. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic, joined on the line by our good buddy, the sports professor, Rick Caro. It's our golf business and law segment sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. And Rick, real quickly, just kind of the charity aspect of the Players' Championship. Since 1977, the Players have donated more than $31 million to charities in Northeast Florida, including a record total of $3 million last year. PGA Tour began tracking charitable dollars way back in 1938. In fact, the first documented charitable dollars on the PGA Tour, a $10,000 donation by the Palm Beach Invitational way back in 1938. And to year date, they've donated $1.4 billion to charity over the last 71 years. But that figure does not include what players themselves donate through their various foundations. For instance, Tiger Woods donates $35 million a year through his Tiger Woods Foundation. Tim Finchem announcing this week that they will change the way they track charitable dollars and now include both what tournaments donate to charity as well as what players themselves in the private sector and their foundations donate to charity. Interesting move by Tim Finchem.
Yeah, and it's the right move because it's total, and it's not taking credit for it, but it's causing an environment that generates some significant dollars in this economy. We always think of charities. Look at all the Pro-Am events that we have in Palm Beach County supporting causes. I think we probably have more than anywhere else. I'm playing in a tournament with some celebrities in Los Angeles tomorrow called the Hack and Smack, but it's for the Melanoma Foundation as part of the work that I do, and we're having the Fin Cup again bigger than ever next year. Hopefully Landshark gets involved, by the way, right before the Honda Classic, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And there was a major tournament at Heron Bay this Monday called the Ganley Ironman Tournament for the Ganley Foundation, head of Fox Sports International. We played 100 holes, and we raised a lot of money for charity, and I've never been so happy about shooting a 387 in my life.
He is the sports professor, Rick Harrow. He joins us each and every Sunday here during our business and law segment. Rick, happy Mother's Day to you. Take care of your wife today.
I'm taking care of everybody today. Happy Mother's Day to you, and especially you, Rooney.
Our future Hall of Famer, Rick Harrow.
There you go.
Thanks,
Don't
Rick.
Wait too long for that vote.